and welcome to a special episode of The Apex. We're live at the NEC for the Classic Motor Show, and joining me on the custodian stand is Alex Kirsten, aka Auto Alex, perhaps best known for fixing up cars that were once destined for scrap and taking them on adventures. Is that the best sort of description of your...
I love shitboxes. Are we allowed to get sweary or not?
You can if you want. Don't worry.
I'm the shitbox king, apparently.
Okay. What do you think of the Lagonda?
Not really a shitbox. No, I don't think I'll ever be able to afford that. A lovely, lovely car. But if it's not 1,500 quid, I'm not interested.
That's actually the one that was in Harry Metcalfe's
video. Yeah, nice. Yeah, so it's definitely not 1,500 quid.
We've got the Vauxhall as well. That's 1923. 100 years old, which is pretty cool.
ULEZ compliant, that.
Yeah. We've just done an article, actually, on ULEZ classics. It's quite a popular topic.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. But obviously, one of the big themes for the whole weekend, really, and something that you've been involved with, is sort of how to get the younger generation more involved in classic cars. How have you sort of, like, found that? What's kind of, do you think the best approaches are?
So I think for me, shining a spotlight on older cars is really important because, you know, as we were walking over here, old cars have already been built, right? So for me, it's important that we recycle these old cars. And, you know, just because they've done over 100 or even 200,000 miles doesn't mean that they're destined for the scrapyard and that you need to go out and buy yourself a brand new Fiesta.
Yeah.
If you maintain them and you look after them and you love them and you cherish them, they can last for 3, 4, 5. I've got a 720,000 mile Volvo, for Christ's sake. But what I like to do is just take mundane humdrum shitboxes and just put a spotlight on them, modify them a little bit, make them a little bit more pokey, you know, just make them a bit kind of OEM plus.
Yes.
And then go on adventures. Yeah. And for me, it's important, you know, one of the most popular series that I did on YouTube was a really high mileage Skoda Octavia. Like, normally no one would care about that or bat an eyelid, but, you know, I took it to the Nürburgring. I did loads of tests with it. I ran it on vegetable oil.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just really important to just open people's eyes and say, yes, it's an old car. Yes, it's, you know, a diesel. It's a little bit more polluting than a new diesel because it doesn't have DPF and yada, yada, yada. But it's reliable. It will get under your skin and it's robust. And, you know, they were made to last. So stop scrapping these old cars in favor of newer cars, because new cars, you know, they only really have a shelf life of 10 years.
Yeah.
And some cars that I own, you know, they're 20, 30, 40 years old and they're still going strong and they look better as well. And they're more fun to drive, more involving. So yeah, for any young people out there, I would say give old cars a chance because they can be fantastic and you can work on them. And there are so many pros I could go on all day.
But that you can also manage them, you know, fairly inexpensively as well. They're
absolutely
not necessarily, you know, massive money pits if you sort of get the right...
Absolutely, models. Yeah. And many of them you can just fix with a hammer and a screwdriver.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I guess in terms of like reaching that sort of younger audience as well, obviously YouTube's a massive platform that you are very familiar with. How have you found that in terms of like the interaction from the sort of younger demographic?
Yeah, so I mean, if I have a look at the analytics of the Auto Alex channel, the kind of average age, I'd say about 60% is between 25 and 35.
Okay.
So we're kind of like middle tier young youth there.
Yeah.
And the interaction's been absolutely fantastic. People love the videos, they love the cars, not because they're particularly interesting cars, but because we do weird and wonderful things with the cars. Yeah. And, you know, if they see us take a Z3 to the Nürburgring, then they're like, oh, Z3 is actually quite a cool car. And it's a lot of the time, it's not about the car, it's about the journey you take with the car and the destination and, you know, going with your friends and family and just making memories. Yeah. That for me is really important. And people on YouTube just seem to really resonate with that because it's relatable. And, you know, you can watch one of my videos on a Thursday or a Friday and you can go out and buy that same car on Facebook Marketplace the next day for, you know, a grand or sub £1,000. So it's easy to do. And if the engine blows up, then you've not lost a lot of money because you can scrap it for 500 or 600 quid.
Yeah. And one of the things as well is the support that's, you know, even if you're not necessarily mechanically gifted, there's so much support out there on these online forums now and on YouTube as well, that people willing to sort of help you out and point you in the right direction, which is such a big sort of, I guess, barrier for people that I'm a bit worried that if it goes wrong, I won't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and people are always really happy to help, especially if you've got an enthusiast car like an MX-5. If you are in a little bit of trouble, then you'll go on a forum or on a Facebook page or so, and someone will inevitably say, bring it round to my house, we'll get it fixed up.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I mean, we touched on it a little bit at the beginning there, keeping these old cars running, you know, from an environmental point of view,
yeah,
it does pay to try and keep these cars on the road for as long as we can.
Yeah.
And not just you know, there's a question around, you know, how long is a Tesla going to last, and what we do with it once it's sort of done. And I suppose that's, again, a big thing that you're doing with, you've got so many cars now that you do projects with and kind of demonstrate the longevity that is there with those cars.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, you know, older cars, they are built to last. Yeah. So replacement parts for a lot of the cars that I drive and show off, they're very inexpensive. You can get them from your Euro car parts most of the time, which you can't do with modern cars. And also they're really easy to work on. And yeah, there's so many benefits.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a very busy guy, so I won't hold you up too long, but how can people sort of get in touch, and where can they find you?
Yeah, so there is the Auto Alex YouTube channel. There is also Auto Alex V2, which kind of where we have podcast clips and kind of smaller editorial videos. And then there is also the Auto Alex podcast, where we talk about shit cars and, you know, the benefits of shit cars and stupid stories and memories that we have as well. So go check those out.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Alex.
No, cheers. Thank you. Yeah, good fun.
I'm now joined by Victoria Butt from the TR Register Youth. She's been busy this weekend on a panel talking about how to get young people into cars. Victoria, thanks for coming and having a quick chat with me.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to this weekend and what you've been saying on the panel.
Okay, yeah. So obviously we have got a stand here at the show, but today I've done a panel as well about getting young people into classics. A bunch of our members are here helping out, and we've been talking to people and, you know, helping them with advice and getting them into the club and also going out every evening.
So what is the TR Registered Youth all about? What do you guys actually do?
So the youth is the young drivers branch of the TR Register, which is an enthusiast club for people into TRs and Triumphs. However, I would say the youth group is not TR exclusive. There's lots of people with MGs, Daimlers, really anyone who's got an interest or a passion for classic cars.
And so how did it all come about? Who sort of was responsible for bringing the idea to life?
Well, I wish I could take credit, but I think it must have been about 8-9 years ago. Some of the guys who are now a bit older set up the youth, and they've passed on the mantle over the years to different leaders. I'm the current leader, and this is sort of the current form of the TR Youth.
And I understand a big part of the sort of club is the social aspect. I mean, that's a big draw for a lot of young people. What are the examples of the kind of trips and events that you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, the social aspect is massive, because at the end of the day, people enjoy these cars, but it's way more fun when you're with friends.
Yeah.
And so we do big events, like we'll get a big youth hostel for several nights, and we'll go for drives in the day, but then have big parties in the evening. Recently, we were in Spa in Belgium to watch some racing, and that was, again, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do single day events as well. Okay. That's a lot of fun. We'll do drives, there'll be some challenges along the way that can get a bit ridiculous. And it's all good fun.
Yeah. And so how big's the actual club now? How many members have you got?
Last I checked, it was 75.
Okay. And how frequently are you doing these sort of trips and events?
So I would say we have 3 or 4 like big events.
Yep.
Which are like multiple days. So you've got the NEC, we've got our season opener, we've got the International and the Indy National. And then we also have a few more kind of single day events dotted through the year. But also a lot of our members have become really good friends, and they sort of end up organizing their own things.
Yeah.
And so that's why we went to Spa. That was a good group of us there as well. So.
And what's the age demographic like in the club?
So our official age is like 18 to 30. There are a few people who are clinging on still. But I mean, there's a real mixture. You've got university age students, you've got people who are literally just finished sixth form, and then you've got others who, like me, I'm like 23 and started my career. And yeah, so it's a real mixture.
Yeah. And I guess one thing that interests me is, like, if you're a first generation enthusiast, like, you know, your parents might be into cars, but they might not have any classics themselves. One of the big sort of barriers is, like, okay, it can be quite daunting going and buying a classic car and not having that support network in place.
100%.
So I think, you know, what you're doing with the club is a massive reduction of that barrier. Is that how you sort of...
I would definitely see it that way. I think people often think you get the car and then you join the club, when realistically you should be joining the club and then thinking about getting the car, because with the club you've got all the information you need, all the knowledge you need, everyone's so helpful with sharing advice, information, knowledge, all of that. But also, it just kind of gives you an idea of where to start looking. You've got so much more information.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, our generation is very big on the environment, you know, and I think it's important to make people aware that, these classics, there's a real environmental benefit to keeping them running.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because when you think about these cars, they've already been built. So there's no resources being used to build a whole brand new car. So that's a big, big thing. They're also simpler to keep running as well, because the mechanics are often simpler. So with my car, it's from 1959. I know that I can actually look at the, I can look under the bonnet and actually think, okay, what's actually going wrong here? Whereas, you know, once you get to a modern car, I've got no idea what I'm doing.
Was mechanics something you sort of knew going in, or was that something you've learned?
That's something I learned after I broke down a few times.
And so what car have you got? What is your?
I've got a TR3A.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about that. What's it?
It's a convertible side screen car. It's pretty good fun. No seat belts, which seems to surprise every single one of my passengers. And I can literally touch the floor outside the car because the door is so low.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And so obviously, you know, a lot of your members are sort of focused on Triumphs, but do you, are there people in there with different cars as well? What's the sort of...
Yeah, so there's a real range of cars. You've got Triumphs, TRs, Spitfires, MGs, Daimlers. For a long time, I didn't even go in my TR. I went in my modern daily and then would just passenger in someone else's car.
Yeah.
So we really, owning a car is not a barrier to entry.
Okay. And how long have you been a part of the club for?
I mean, technically I joined when I was 17.
Okay.
I didn't start getting involved really until like COVID. And then I've been leading now for about a year.
And how do you see the sort of development of the club in terms of, like, are you seeing a lot of young people joining? Like, is that on the rise?
Yeah, young people are definitely joining. I think it's a nature of our club that we're very, very sociable. And so people bring their friends to events, and we love people to bring friends.
Yeah.
And then their friends end up joining, and the club just gets bigger and bigger and grows with every event.
Yeah. Do you think there are anything else that can be done to increase that involvement from young people?
I definitely think reducing barriers to entry. Insurance is a big problem for us.
Yeah.
And that's always an issue for young drivers.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that can be worked on.
Yeah. And that's, to be fair, that's exactly, you know, we at Custodian have launched a specialist insurance for people who are really enthusiastic about their cars, because I think there's a big misconception that obviously a lot of people get behind the wheel and they're going to immediately have an accident, but actually, you know, people really care about their cars and they're really into it, and the people that do take great care of them should be rewarded from an insurance point of view. And it's quite hard to differentiate between owners, and so with our platform we're sort of making that process easier. So yeah, I mean, it's huge.
100%. Like, we were talking earlier about modifications.
Yeah.
The modifications I would do to my vehicle are things like put a steering rack on it, just make it easier to drive, which a lot of insurance companies see that, oh my gosh, you've modded your car, they rack the premium up.
Yeah.
When really, I'm actually trying to make my car safer.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got a lot of people on the platform that are doing exactly that, modifying cars, and they shouldn't be penalized for doing so. And also, like you just said, in many cases, they're making the car safer as well. So yeah, it's a huge, huge angle. I mean, so how can people find out a bit more about the club and get involved?
So you can follow us on our socials, which Instagram is our main one, which is tr_register_youth, which is pretty easy. And then all of our members that actually join the membership, they're all on a WhatsApp chat together, which is great for organising events, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. That's all we've got time for. But Victoria, thank you very much for joining me. That was great.
Brilliant.
Thank you. I'm now joined by Lee Dennis. He's a member of the MX5 Owners Club. A big part of what we're trying to do at Custodian is get younger people into classics. And obviously, you're a young guy heavily involved in the MX5 scene and the MX5 community. What do you think makes the MX5 such a popular car amongst enthusiasts?
So MX5s, they've been around for a lot of years. There's a lot of different generations. They're all fundamentally from front engine, rear wheel drive, lightweight. They're not massively powerful, but they handle really well on the road and they're a lot of fun to drive. So in terms of getting into them, they are relatively inexpensive and a lot of people are sort of appreciating that. And there's that much of an aftermarket community with them as well. There's so many parts and things you can do for them that really the sky's the limit of where you want to take it and where your passion drives you.
Yeah, and the MX-5 is certainly coming into the category of a classic for sure, isn't it? I mean, so the Mark 1s, how old are they now?
Yeah, so Mark 1s, so next year's the 35 years of the MX-5, so they've been around for 35 years now, and the Mark 1s are either late 88, 89 to, you'll have to check this, it's like 97, 98, I think. It was sort of 10-year run before they went to the Mark 2s, so yeah, they're certainly 25, 30 years old, at least, for even some of the later Mark 1s. So they're definitely sort of appreciating in value and being a classic status amongst the club. And Mark II's are, you know, shortly following behind soon, really.
Yeah. And are you seeing a lot of young people getting into the MX-5 community because they're such a good sort of entry-level car? Is it the demographic? Is that sort of what you see?
So the demographic amongst the club is, there is a lot of older members. However, there is a sort of drive at the minute to get more younger members involved and involved in drives and meets up. So earlier in the year, we had an event at Cafe in the Machine. We saw 70 cars plus arrive there. You know, members of all ages, but obviously Cafe in the Machine's such a cult of car community for petrol heads that there was loads of young members there, you know, Mark 1s, Mark 2s, 3s, you know, modified, standard, turbocharged, etc. So people really are getting into these cars and enjoying them as they should be.
And they're a great car for modifying as well. I think that's probably part of the appeal, is you can really make them your own, the MX-5.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of big companies that do a lot of parts for the MX-5, so like BC Racing, the amount of coilovers you can get, Boffy Racing do anything from suspension parts, brake upgrades, to forced induction or like engine mods. So if you're wanting to chase power or to go into a more motorsport or track car orientated thing, an MX-5 is a perfect platform for that, because they're lightweight and they're just fantastic handling cars.
And it's quite reassuring as well. You know, sometimes the hesitancy for going into classics is like the reliability, the availability of parts, but you know, you just touched on it there. The MX-5s, so many of them, there's such a big community that if you are not necessarily a lot about mechanics, you're still able to sort of get parts for these cars, get them serviced.
Yeah, so with the club as well, like if you're a member of the MX-5 Owners Club, you have access to the forums, and there's obviously countless Facebook groups where if you have questions, there's always someone that's done something on these cars that can answer your questions or point you in the right direction or direct you to, you know, garages or, you know, specialists that work on these cars to either restore them or repair them. So you can always find an answer. And as for parts, you know, there's an MX-5 parts store online that do parts for all four generations. They're plentiful, they're not that expensive, and you can nearly get anything for them. They are really accessible.
And I was talking to Nick Padmore the other day. It's an episode not been released yet, but we were talking about getting into racing. If you're a, you know, young person, you want to get into racing, the MX-5 being a great option and a car that he uses to coach a lot of his young drivers, which is super interesting. It does the club sort of deal with the motorsport side of things as well? Is there, you've got members that are racing their MX-5s?
From memory, I don't know anyone in particular. The MX-5 Owners Club does have a sort of motorsport section. Okay. So in the magazine Soft Top Hard Top, there is a motorsport section where it says about track days, it says about the events. The MX-5 is present in a few different like race series.
Yeah.
So, you know, as members, we do have free tickets to go to these and watch them and watch people race these cars. So that there's certainly a motorsport community around them. Personally don't know anyone in it because I've not looked into it, but there is certainly the scope for it.
Your car's more of a show car, is that right?
Yeah, so I have a 2003 Mark 2.5 MX-5, which is a 1.8 VVT, and it was restored with my dad over weekends, and it's been resprayed. It's had coilovers and stuff like that. It was initially sort of done of, I'll take it on track, but it ended up maybe evolving too much past that I daren't risk it. I have done a track day at Kerber Sprint Circuit in it, of which it was fantastic, and I'm definitely keen to go to Blighton next year with the club on their track day weekend that they do to give it a shakedown. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it's mainly a show car, of which I won best Mark II MX-5, modified Mark II MX-5 at the National Rally earlier this year, and yeah, I aim to continue with that.
What made you go for the Mark II MX-5?
Well, at the time when I bought it in 2019. The Mark IIs, as is still true today, to be fair, they are the cheapest ones to start with. Mark I's are appreciating money. Mark IIIs were that bit newer, so they're a little bit more money. This came up locally to me at a local garage, and I was offered that car for £700 and another one with it for an extra £300. So for £1,000, I got two MX-5s, of which I sort of sold the other one off for parts and took like the shiny bits off it that I wanted, kept the 1.8, which is the one that I've got, and then we rebuilt that. And because it was so cheap, it was a complete blank canvas for doing what we wanted with it, you know, restoring it, respraying it, and working with it.
Yeah. And so if someone, you know, listening is in the market for an MX-5, what's the kind of things they should be looking out for? What's a good sort of model to go for?
It depends what you want. If you're looking at, you know, what someone my age, like, yes, you know, yeah, as a young owner, you want something fairly affordable. You know, Mark 1s are going up in money. They can be, you know, they're still not mega money. You know, 5-6 grand probably get you an all right one. Mark 2s obviously the cheapest, but things you want to look out for on the, certainly the Mark 1 and Mark 2s, unfortunately, is corrosion from the fact that they are 20 now, you know, they're getting on, they're 20 plus years old.
Yeah.
So the rear arches, they go, the sills, they can go. Certainly on my Mark 2, which was no exception, the chassis rails at the front, they were rotten through, so they are a double skinned metal, and the moisture sort of sits, condensates in the middle of them and rots them out from the inside. The Mark 1s, they're single skin, so they don't suffer with chassis rails, but they certainly suffer with the sills and that. So just make sure that when you're looking at getting a Mark 1 or Mark 2, if that's what you're going for,
yeah,
check the underside, see what, you know, what the bodywork and the condition's like, and see if it's damp, and just make sure it's solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are coming up with time, but thank you so much for joining me, Lee. Where can people sort of find more about the MX-5 Owners Club? What's the...
So if you want to find out more about the MX-5 Owners Club, we've got a website. If you just go search MX-5 Owners Club, it'll come up and you can sign up and join. And there's loads of members, benefits. So there's loads of companies on board and partnerships for discounts. You have access to the forum and Facebook group, like official Facebook group, should I say, to get information and find out more. As a member as well, you're assigned to an area, so you also can get involved in drives and meets with like-minded people near you, and it's very much for enthusiasts,
yeah,
to enjoy the cars and get them on the road and enjoy them for years to come.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Lee. Cheers.
Thank you very much.